Hello, welcome to the Snap UK. We're back!
Woohoo!
Some of us.
Yeah.
Some of us are back.
Woohoo!
The others aren't.
The best ones are here.
So, it's myself, Jim, Griff, we're back. It's been a while.
I'd like to say fighting fit, but that's only you and me.
I've got a new back.
So, yeah, got a new back.
Well, so, fixed back.
We've gone through some off-season changes. I've cut my hair.
I don't have any hair to cut.
And Jim has a new back.
Yeah, it's great.
So, all good. Yeah. The others are busy.
You know. Gary's working, and Paul has an infected mouth.
Someone's got to pay off that 15 grand sofa.
Mattress. It's changed purchase since you went away.
Yeah, I know, right? It's because I've been spent so long on the sofa.
That's harsh coming from a man who looks like he's spread on a chaise long. Paint me like one of your French girls, Jim.
Yeah, welcome to my life the last 3 weeks.
But you're all right now?
I'm all right now, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I've had bits cut out of me and now I'm fighting fit.
Well, good, because we're going to do the... a combine in 2 weeks.
Excellent.
For the draft, so.
We've got all the way through this discussion without me mentioning penoplasty.
Penoplasty?
Yeah, that's what I thought Jim was going in for originally.
So.
Like a rhinoplasty, but downstairs.
But downstairs, yeah.
We're back. Some things haven't changed.
No, I've had serious back surgery. How's your penis? I'm afraid I'm not able to change that.
No.
Can't do it.
No amount of surgery will do that.
Not enough people laughed at my screw shop joke the other day, by the way, that I made on our little group. I was very upset with you all.
Oh, sorry.
You had a lovely picture of a place called The Screw Shop.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Let it make its own jokes.
I kind of chuckled a little bit to myself.
Yeah.
It was more of a...
It's just the size of the sign.
Well, I went... not very interesting story, but I went up the A1 the other day.
That's not a euphemism, is it?
Say, took her right up the A1.
No. But the amount of fucking little chefs that are now sex shops on that fucking road, it's bizarre.
I'd still rather eat there now than when it was little chef.
I think it's just a bit more expensive to eat out there now.
Probably cleaner.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway.
How's the sausage?
No,
rhetorical question. Moving on.
We've had a couple, you know, everyone else rushed back, you know, I assume.
We've had the luxury of some time off.
We've had some time off. We're just better people now. And that's good. But we come back today and there's news.
Big news.
Big news.
Yeah.
Not Jim's back.
Nope.
No.
Actual news.
That's old news.
That's old news. Old hat. I'm bored of his back now.
So am I.
But Stefon Diggs is no longer a Buffalo Bill. He is now a Texan. They have traded him away to the Texans for a 2025 fifth round pick, which they... Second round pick.
We are back.
Yay!
Fake news.
A 2025 second round pick, which they've got from the Vikings for their trade in the draft this year. So
the full trade, the Bills send Stefon Diggs, a 2024 sixth round pick, and a 2025 fifth round pick to the Texans for a 2025 second round pick.
Yeah.
Seems a lot.
It does seem... I mean, for a bloke who is, you know, at the start of last season, if you'd have been doing power rankings of wide receivers, would have been top 10.
Yeah.
That's cheap.
It's also bear in mind that the Bills take on $31 million of dead cap, which is actually more than what they'd have to absorb if they kept him.
Okay. Here's the thing, though. On one hand, it seems a tad expensive, and on the other hand, a tad crazy. Is it not just a really good move for everyone? Stefon Diggs needs a kickstart to his career after a down year. The Bills clearly wanted to get rid of him because he doesn't get on with everyone because he was having a down year, and the Texans need more weapons. When your best receiver last season was? Nico Collins
or Tank Dell was having a good season before we get injured. I do agree with you.
Stephon Diggs clearly better than both.
Clearly better, well, more experience.
He's different as well.
More experience to both. I think it brings experience into that locker room.
Risk.
Yeah, it is from a playing point of view. I would completely agree with you. But this guy just seems like a locker room cancer. He got sick of being in Minnesota when they were building around him then, and Minnesota were very quick to get rid of him. And it's been bubbling, I think, for the last 2 years in Buffalo with him. And the Bills have got rid of him for what is effectively, I know it's a second round pick, but it's a second round pick next year. And they're eating all that cap space. And I think I said to you guys in the group, how do you say locker room cancer without saying locker room cancer? Now, the difficulty for the Bills is they haven't got any wide receivers. They literally haven't got any. He's gone. Gabe Davis is gone. Trent Sherfield has gone. And you know, you're now scraping the barrel.
Khalil Shakir left.
Yeah.
You say locker room cancer. I say someone who's demanding success. It became clear that the Vikings weren't going to win anything, so he wanted out. It's become clear that the Bills seem to be able to trip themselves up and not win anything, so he wants out. So he's now moved to the up-and-coming team. Like, that's just a career-driven human
it's
being.
I think it's a big ask for to say the Texans are in a better position
not this
than
year,
the Bills.
But next year, who do you think is more likely to win? Because this is, for me, the last year the Bills have in their window.
Yeah.
So next season, who is more likely to win the Super Bowl?
Is he going to be... I don't think I would say the Texans still.
Over the Bills? On the trajectories they're on, I would say they are. It's such a difficult game to play, but I can see why you would want the move.
I can, as you say, I can see why Diggs would want it. I can see why the Texans want it. I can see why the Bills would want an easier run dressing room.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like we also go, oh, who's going to be better in a year? I know the team won't be as good. Well, it won't be as good as it was maybe 2 years ago. It's still got fucking Josh Allen. He's an inhuman player. Like, he does things that other players, including CJ Stroud, could only dream of. He also does stuff that Daniel Jones would never dream of being as bad some days. But I think the Bills at the beginning of a rebuild, I think this just helps them go further. They're lost. They've lost a lot.
They have lost a heck of a lot. And on both sides of the balls, it's not both sides of the field. It's not just the wide receivers. They've lost. Leonard Floyd has gone. AJ Epinesa has gone. It's a big part. Tre'Davious White's not there anymore. Mika Hyde's gone. You know, there's a lot of big players now that have left. Yeah. And Latavius Murray.
Mitch Moore from the O-line.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Puna Ford.
Yeah.
But he did what?
Yes, exactly.
Puna Ford.
So, yeah, I think you're right. I think they are in a rebuild. And, yeah, okay, if you're Diggs and you're sitting there towards the end of your career, realistically,
yeah,
you probably are thinking, I want to go somewhere that's going to win. But I think it's more the Bills just want rid of him because he's a pain in the ass.
I don't know because I can see where Griff's coming from. That I think he's driven, and I think he expects certain amounts of responsibility. That responsibility includes targets, catches, and stuff. I also think if you're a person like McDermott, you've got a timeline of how long you can put up with that.
Yeah, agree with that.
And I think we've realised it was probably about a year ago.
I don't think he's going to get as many targets with the Texans as he would have with the Bills.
No.
Because I think Tank Dell had a great breakout season. I think if he had been fit for the whole season, he would have been up there for Offensive Rookie of the Year based on his the games he did play. Nico Collins had a good year. Dalton Schultz is a good tight end.
He's got his contract, isn't he?
Yeah, and they've just brought in Joe Mixon as well, who's a good running back, but also isn't too bad as a receiving running back as well.
Yeah, no, and as well, Dell and Collins are field stretchers, aren't they? Diggs is more of a, you know, a slot guy for, you know, there for volume. But he's going to, I think his, but him being there might help Dell and Collins even further. So I think it is win-win-win for all concerned.
Yeah, I do.
I think for the Bills, it'd have been nicer if they got some, like 2024 or more. But, you know, if that's what the offer is, you probably just think, well, I have to take it then.
Don't you just wish your team had done that? Because I wish my team had done that.
I do not.
No, because your team is good and has wide receivers. Our teams are crap and don't have wide receivers.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
Yeah. We also don't have quarterbacks to throw to him.
Now that he does not deal well with that either. But no, that's also true.
I love Stephon Diggs, player I've loved watching, and I still think he's, he had a down year, I still think he's brilliant. But I couldn't imagine him having to face being quarterbacked by Daniel Jones or Bailey Zappe. I mean,
who's the other fella, the gangster that quarterbacked for you last year?
Tommy DeVito.
That's what I want to see. Yeah. Stephon Diggs losing his shit from a Tommy DeVito overthrow.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's happened today.
Actual news.
Both me and Jim had to check it wasn't April Fool's, though, because...
Yeah, I did see it on Facebook to start off with, and I was like, I'm just going to check the date of that post, because it did seem like an April Fool's type thing.
I had to check it wasn't like an Adam Schefter parody account. So, yeah, it was... because I'd seen quite a lot of trades yesterday, and you're like, Patrick Mahomes is going to the Titans.
George Kittle to the Jaguars is one that is an April Fool's that's been doing the rounds for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Came up again this year.
Yeah. Great.
Anyway. You haven't got the running order open, have you?
I fucking hate April Fool's Day.
Me?
As a kid. No, because the next one is... we're still stuck on news, and it's unfortunately, it's the death of Vontae David.
Yeah, that was sad.
Which is very sad. 35 years old. And...
A mere youngster.
As well, I don't think gets enough credit for his time in Indianapolis.
He was a solid cornerback. Do you want me to read the notes?
So you can read the notes.
Because it sounded well, you know, well-loved quarterback, cornerback, at Indianapolis. At one point, QBs throwing to him had a passer rating of only 38.8. He didn't allow a TD on him for 25 games. And one game versus the Titans, they refused to throw his way entirely. He was that good a cornerback. He's obviously more famous later on in his career for the game at halftime, where for the Bills he decided to retire at halftime. So literally didn't come out for the second half. I just don't know why. It was when the Bills were bad.
When the Bills were bad, and basically he'd left Indianapolis because of injury. He as a cornerback, once the speed is gone, it becomes a really hard position to
you do see play. You see a lot of cornerbacks, or some cornerbacks who do stay in the game. Charles Woodson, for instance, transition into that kind of safety type role. I guess he didn't do that as well.
It's basically went to the Bills for didn't take being benched by the Colts very well because they had to bench him because of his injury problems. Went to the Bills, and with, I think it was still 5 minutes of the half left,
Walked out. Just told
McDermott, or whoever the head coach was at the time, this might have been pre-McDermott. I'm trying to think now. Was it? But told the head coach.
First year of McDermott?
Or it might be the first year of McDermott.
It wasn't Rex Ryan, was it?
It's McDermott.
I don't know.
But he told the head coach, I'm done. That's what he told him. Like, he was in his car by the start of the second half. He'd gone, he'd left the thing. And they didn't know if they meant he was done for the day, like he got an injury, or if he quit. Like, it took him coming out and going, I've quit the game. So,
but at the time, people called him a coward
for
walking out on his team. And at the time, I thought, well, if he no longer considers himself to be a good enough contributor, that's it. You've called it. Actually, that's quite brave to just say, I am not helping this team. We are losing in part because of me. I am done. Because there is always somebody else to step into your shoes. You don't want to be stopping someone else from having a career if you are no longer able to contribute.
Exactly, yeah. I think on the running order, I even put his Twitter bio.
You did. Former NFL cornerback, two-time Pro Bowler, and half-time retirement sensation in 2018.
Love that.
Yeah.
Like he owned it. And he just knew. And you don't want to see... Like, there's nothing sadder than seeing, like, your not, you know, Devontae Davis was never a hero, but to people in Indianapolis, he might have been their hero. And to see him sort of lolloping around a field.
Yeah, I do. I completely see your point. I agree. There probably are better ways of doing it.
Of course.
Yeah.
I think you can say at halftime, all right.
I'm done.
And then afterwards have a meeting with the coach and go, no, I'm done. Not just walk out. Because I think there is an element of like, okay, even if you're injured and you're done for that game, being on the sideline to G up your team and be a good teammate, I think there's an element of camaraderie about that as well, which, you know, just walking out and being in a car and literally deserting your team, I'm not sure that's great, but hey, look, I do agree with you. I mean, there's times I've played sport where in older age, I'm like, fuck, I'm too old for this.
Yeah, we wish you'd retired at halftime several times.
Yeah, I know.
No, but it's a bit like Andrew Luck, like 2 days before the season started saying, do you know what? I can't. And everyone booed him. And we went, well, he's just spent 3 seasons consistently recovering from injury. Yes, he left it late, but you don't have to do this.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever say to anyone who's retiring or leaving the game early because they want to, if that's their choice, that's their choice. I remember Chris Borden, the 49ers linebacker. He played one season, he was great. And then the next season, he was worried about concussions. Like, no, I can't do this anymore. And you have to applaud that to an extent because it's like that, to your point, that's a really brave thing to do, to come out and say, I'm done. Yeah. I can't do this.
I wish I'd given up playing cricket when I was still, you know, winning trophies and things instead of carrying on and thinking, yeah, I'll be fine. And then not seeing the ball go past every time. Basically getting retired.
Just do what I do and suck at everything.
I do now.
But yeah, so that was Vontae Davis. Thoughts of his friends and family. Like, if you saw Pat McAfee's show, I'm not a big Pat McAfee fan, but I saw bits of his show the other day, and he obviously knew beforehand and wasn't, you know, holding it in, wasn't allowed to say. But yeah, like, obviously, the guy's much loved. We've also got... In
the darker side.
Bad boy news. Rashee Rice. He's cooperating with authorities now after being allegedly involved in a car crash. Multi-car pileup. A car that was in his name was in a car crash. And then the other one's Cam Sutton.
Yeah, that one might be worse. I'm just saying.
24 days he's been on the...
Going on the run so as not to be arrested for battering a woman.
Yeah,
let's just call it what it is. Yeah, all right,
allegedly.
Fine. But let's just call it what it is. Because you don't run off for 24 days if you didn't do that, do you? Do you?
It's not a good look.
It's not. It doesn't help.
No.
I try and avoid doing the Puff Daddy defence, which is going on the run, because that makes you look hella guilty. So
only person that's ever worked for was OJ Simpson.
I mean... Can a Kardashian help Cam Sutton?
Would a Kardashian help Cam Sutton?
There's money in it, probably.
I did quite like the person that tweeted, if you're looking for Cam Sutton, he's usually 4 yards behind the receiver that he's covering. I quite like that. That was very funny. Whoever thought of that, what a genius move.
Yeah.
Top trolling.
So, yeah. Should we get on to some of the off-season stuff? So I thought, whilst Jim's here, and the sense.
What do you mean while he's here? It's his fucking house.
Yeah.
He can't go outside.
So whilst we're here at Jim's, and, you know, the sensible person in the room, we'll get some of the, before we go on to go back to next week and having Paul and Gary discussing the off-season stuff. Some retirements and some big names have retired. So
you are kicking off with potentially 3, maybe 4 Hall of Fame players.
Yeah. Exactly. So, biggest retirement of the year, Aaron Donald, yeah. is no... Basically, offensive linemen now can breathe a sigh of relief that they don't have to deal with this menace anymore. Because, I mean, I don't want to compare eras. So, basically, the best defensive linemen that I've seen... is Aaron Donald, quite frankly. And people may...
It's a tough one to argue. Three-time defensive player of the year from, you know, interior defensive line, not, you know, an edge rusher like J.J. Watt or T.J. Watt or Nick Bosa that we've seen recently who accumulates sacks. He accumulates sacks from the middle of the defensive line, undersized defensive lineman as well, small for his, well, for the traditional position. The guy just dominated.
Yeah.
It's like when we talk about Hall of Famers, we talk about did they dominate in that position in their in like a 5-year period is where they're at the height of their career. I think you can probably say that Aaron Donald dominated for the whole of his career. He was like he'd always have two or three people trying to block him, and yet he'd still manage to get through the line and accumulate 10 sacks.
Consecutive Pro Bowl seasons.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
a defensive lineman. Gets pressure on 16% of their plays. Aaron Donald gets pressure on the quarterback 18% when double-teamed. He's better double-teamed than a normal defensive lineman is in single coverage. Yeah. That's how good he is.
He's a freak.
There's the footage of, I think, the Dolphins playing him, and they had, three offensive linemen and a tight end on him. Four blokes.
Yeah.
And you're like,
ironically, the only quarterback that was able to stand up to him was Alex Smith on a dodgy knee.
I mean, yeah.
See, the problem with doing this podcast without Paul here is you mentioned the phrase double team while looking at me and didn't grin, whereas Paul would currently be hiding under the table trying not to make your mama jokes.
Yeah, when we talk about the draft later, we'll talk about filling holes.
I know. Unbelievable. Look, prime JJ Watt on a given day was a far more exciting player for me to watch.
Yes.
But he also spent half his career injured, whereas Aaron Donald sailed through. He is going to be the best defensive player in the lifetime of this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
So.
Potentially, yeah. You know, you don't know what's around the corner, but yeah, at the moment, he absolutely is.
Yeah, but we won't be doing this for another 10 years. Statistically speaking, seems unlikely.
Fuck what else to do.
That's true. He might be outdone by... just sheer our laziness in finding another hobby.
There we go, you see.
But yeah, JJ Watt was, I think, for 3 years, more exciting.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, this might be the best.
But he was also dominating on a team that was otherwise terrible, whereas the Rams have had space of being excellent.
Yeah, he's won a Super Bowl.
Been to two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there were rumours he wasn't going to come back after they won that Super Bowl. He's come back for a season and he wasn't quite the same, but he was still decent last year.
He was playing with 10 rookies, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. It was a shit team.
For the Rams as well, they got some usage out of the other defensive lineman whose name is now Kobe something.
But yeah, he had a good year.
He had a good year. So it just seems like a good time to bow out.
Speaking of Aaron Donald, and we're going to speak about drafts, 2014 draft is when he was drafted, number 13 overall. The players went before him and after him. That draft is incredible.
It is a mad draft.
Isn't there 10 Pro Bowlers in the top 12 or something?
That's like right. Jadeveon Clowney, Khalil Mack, Jake Matthews, Mike Evans, Anthony Barr, Eric Ebron, Taylor Lewan, Odell Beckham, Aaron Donald.
He hasn't mentioned Blake Bortles.
Carl Fuller. I'm talking about the Pro Bowlers. Ryan Shazier, Zach Martin,
Time Man of the Year.
And CJ Mosley, the top. That's 17. Well, 10 players out of 17. Yeah, Greg Robinson, Blake Bortles, Sammy Watkin, and Justin Gilbert were the ones I missed out. That went before Aaron Donald. But yeah, heck of a draft year.
Yeah.
Didn't Sammy Watkins win a Super Bowl with the Chiefs?
With the Chiefs, yep.
Yeah, but you know.
Just saying when Canton comes calling.
Blaine Gabbert's won a Super Bowl as well. So.
Two,
potentially.
Yeah. He definitely won one. Because he was on the
He was on the Chiefs last year.
He was on the Chiefs last year.
He was Brady's backup. Yeah,
he's won two.
Oh, bloody hell. Anyway, also calling it a day on the Eagles. So Jason Kelce, and on the other side of the ball, Fletcher Cox. So once again, we're talking potential Hall of Famers there.
Definitely one in Jason Kelce. I think Fletcher Cox will eventually get there as well.
Yeah, he's not a first ballot, isn't he?
No.
But he's been a brilliant player. And yeah, big holes for the Eagles to fill.
Yes, I agree.
Come on, yeah. Paul. Where are you? This is really hard work on my own.
Damn that abscess. I feel that the Eagles have a draft well in terms of they've got a replacement ready-made for Kelce in terms of one of their guards can shift in inside to centre. Fletcher Cox, they've been drafting on the defensive line for the last couple of years to fill the hole. Sorry, Griff. Fletcher Cox has been, obviously, he's been getting older. Cox and holes. Fill the Cox hole. Yeah. Fletcher Cox has been getting older, obviously. He's not been as productive since they won that Super Bowl. Or since they got to the Super Bowl last year, either.
Well, they can afford to keep him in rotation as well, can't they?
Yeah, exactly.
They are quite deep, but it's
it's a lot of experience.
That's the two locker room leaders that have gone.
That's the big
for a team that seemed an absolute dismay.
That's my concern is they seem to lack experience last year at the most important part of the season. Yeah, I don't think people. I don't think people look to Jalen Hurts to be the leader of that team.
No.
And I mean, that's now a bigger problem than perhaps it was at the time.
Yeah. So whilst we're with Michael here today, we should also mention Matt Slater calling it a day.
Yeah.
Along with Malcolm Butler and Damian Harris. But
Matt Slater was my potentially fourth Hall of Famer.
I was about to ask, is Matt Slater, because I can't imagine it being Butler or Harris, but is Slater... He feels very much like the Ring of Honor.
He's a Ring of Honor player. He might get in, but name me one or two outstanding Slater plays that you would put on a highlight reel.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's not actually to be disparaging. The point is he's done his job with the minimum. It's like when we only talk about kickers and punters if they fuck up, or long snappers when they fuck up. The guy just hasn't put a foot wrong for how many years? 14 years?
14 years.
He's been incredible. He probably hasn't been incredible in the right position to be a Hall of Famer. The team will be worse off without him as a leader, probably, than as a player. The last two seasons, less impactful. But he's been a leader while we've been transitioning into whatever the fuck we are now.
I think you're absolutely right. He's that Ring of Honor type guy that he might get on some short lists for Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the name will crop up.
But I don't think he'll ever be the type of player that could beat out anyone else on a list.
Well, look, I mean, there's we go through it every year. The short list for Hall of Fame, like, there's some cracking players. And it's just getting more and more like, you know, we've got the quarterbacks coming through. You know, like, got Donald, Kelce, Cox.
Yep.
What still to come through?
So you don't think Philip Rivers, Michael Slater could beat off Cox?
No.
To get into I don't think so. I think he's coming from behind in that race.
Yeah. Don't forget we've got Philip Rivers and Frank Gore to come up into the Hall of Fame as well.
Well, you know, he might get in before then. But yeah. As well... You know, it should be mentioned since we've last recorded that Bill Belichick no longer has a job in the league.
So or anywhere.
Anywhere. He's jobless. One of the problem jobless 70-year-old men in this...
multi-millionaire.
Yeah.
Why is this a surprise?
Because he's Bill Belichick.
How good have the Patriots been for the last three seasons?
Not been very good.
Right.
They've not been very good.
He is... By most measures, one of the best three coaches in the NFL of all time.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, yeah. I
think it's possible to say the best, but let's call, you know, you've got Halas, you've got Shula, you've got Belichick, you can probably name some others, Walsh.
Lombardi.
Lombardi. Right. So he's in esteemed company, right? But people also, Tom Landry was the Cowboys head coach for what, 30 years or 25 years, whatever. But his time came and went because it does, because things change. Belichick is not able to deal with the modern player in the way that previous types of professionals were okay being dealt with. And that showed.
Yeah.
That showed. That's not to disparage him. He's been amazing. But peak Alex Ferguson probably wouldn't work with some of the modern players we have today. In
Could you imagine Alex Ferguson with Anthony?
Right. So this is my point.
The ultimate fidget spinner.
I've just said, well, I'll just say, if they had Ferguson, they'd never have bought Anthony.
Like, true.
They'd be still, true. They'd still be a decent team.
If you parachuted one of the greatest football managers into the modern Manchester United, he's not instantly going to make them successful.
Doesn't
Clough, Bobby Robson. Like, it just, it wouldn't work, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
Right. But it'd be amazing.
Sorry, the thought of Brian Clough managing Anthony. It's just brilliant.
just shoot him and just leave him there to decompose. But this is my point. Belichick, fantastic, but it doesn't work. And I think teams have probably done the right thing. Maybe somebody brings him in as a consultant and learns from him, but I don't think he's the leader you need anymore. I've been saying for 2 years at least, it's time for the rebuild. We are going to suck. It is going to be hardcore suffrage.
I completely agree. I'm just surprised he didn't get some sort of consultancy or assistant head coach to a younger head coach type role. But
would he want that? He still clearly thinks he can head
coach. That's just it. It's his ego getting in the way of a potential job opportunity.
Yeah,
and if he still wants to be in the game, then he maybe needs to accept that, you know, people, head GMs or team owners don't want an old curmudgeon as their head coach, but still value
his
input as a head coach.
The consultancy thing, is that also damaged by the fact he's a terrible GM?
Yeah.
Brilliant coach, terrible GM.
Bill the GM has cost some of Bill the coach's legend.
Yeah.
But also, can we mention, like, what was the problem, main problem last year with the Patriots?
The quarterback.
Who wanted the quarterback moved on? Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. Yeah.
Who wanted him to stay? Kraft. I think Kraft as well is costing, like, because you could see for miles around, Mac Jones, it wasn't working, and it wasn't a talent issue primarily, was it? It's an attitude one as well.
It's an attitude issue.
Yeah, absolutely was. I also think, you know, the whole Belichick-Brady thing ended acrimoniously.
Yeah.
With Kraft in the middle. It was obvious Kraft wanted Brady to stay. We were talking about that program on Apple,
Dynasty,
the Dynasty. It's
which
obvious.
I have not seen.
If John didn't like it, I thought it was good.
It needs to be watched.
Yeah.
I think if you're a football fan, it needs to be watched.
It's been edited in a certain way. This is what I've been led to believe.
It is a Kraft production.
Yeah, it is. He comes out looking pretty good.
And of course, the best thing about sports is the administration and the money.
The thing here is Kraft wanted to keep Brady, but he backed down to Belichick. Now, the Seahawks wanted to keep Russell Wilson, and they backed down to Pete Carroll. What they found out was sometimes quarterbacks go away and are not very good. And what the Patriots found out was Brady had 3 more years left in him playing at a bigger level than we had.
I think the thing is, you have to remember, is when we talk about this a lot, is that it's tradition that most players leave New England to go somewhere else and they're worse.
Yeah.
Brady's probably the only one who's left and done as good.
The Bucs had built a far superior squad to anything we've had in the last 2 years. He would not have won more Super Bowls.
No, I don't think he would.
We were saying at the time,
he's got to go.
He's got, like, Brady is done. I thought he was going to Tampa for one last payday. But of course, what it is, it triggered that competitive streak. And, like, let's not forget, until the final 8 games of the season, they weren't very good, the Bucks.
No,
it's true.
Like,
they were wild card.
They were wild card with a losing record,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah.
They went 8-9.
I don't think that's a losing record, was it?
Or was it 8-8?
It wasn't a good record.
They weren't good anyway, yeah.
But, like, what it was a team of grizzled bastards who knew how to win playoff games. at with an astonishing defense that came up when it mattered. But yeah, they were able to keep the 45-year-old Brady enough to make some useful plays. But I didn't. I was with
11-5.
They're still shitting. They
they were behind the Saints 2-12-4.
Oh, but okay. Yeah. So yeah, it was. You were looking at Brady that final Patriots season. You were like, it is time. Like you backed him.
Is at that point they should have gone into full rebuild.
Yeah.
Whereas I think they didn't.
No, they thought they could muddle.
They thought they could muddle.
And you know, if it wasn't for COVID, that pesky COVID, we probably would have got away with it for another year with Cam Newton. He was actually playing really well. I've said it 100 times. He was playing really well until he got COVID, and then there wasn't another plan after that.
Yeah.
That's unlucky, but it wasn't Belichick doing anything good. It was just that Cam Newton was still good enough at that point. And then he got one more problem, illness instead of injury, but fine. And that was it. We got... Don't forget
this. That one Mac Jones year, that debut year.
Yeah, but that was kind of, you know...
Flash in the pan.
Yeah, it was nothing. Like, we crawled into the playoffs and got absolutely bushwhacked in the first round of the playoffs. We didn't deserve to be there. It was luck over judgment. But you think of all the players we've had. Like, Brady went, but before that, Belichick wanted to get rid of him and keep Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Who may have won Super Bowls with the Patriots. Like, we had succession plans for years. We had some good... Jacoby Brissett has been a starter in the league and has been more successful than Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Like, we had succession plans and they never pulled the trigger. Then when they did pull the trigger, no plan.
Yeah.
Because Mac Jones clearly wasn't good enough. Also, they've done it again. They've now pulled the trigger, and we already know that Bailey Zappe isn't good enough. He's a backup, probably. Yeah,
at best.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a backup like Drew Locke is a backup.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not good enough. That's not how you then reinvigorate a team.
Yeah.
Now, that's fine. Like I've said for a while, we're going to suck, and that's okay. Not all teams get to be great forever. Like, you know, the 49ers had a couple of ropey as fuck years.
Oh,
before
terrible
you,
years.
Yeah, and we're going to be the same. The Giants have had 2 Super Bowls and then, well, you've sucked for a while. I mean, you've had some up years, but you've sucked.
Still do suck, really.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be a thing. That's fine. But it's the lack of planning. And whether that's Kraft or Belichick or... And I think that's mostly down to the fact we haven't had a proper GM.
Yeah.
There's no plan.
Well, I think that's the problem.
It will take 3 years
to pick back up. We've talked about succession plans and... If the plan was to get rid of Belichick, then...
Why isn't everything else in place?
Yeah, exactly. Why isn't there a GM in place ready to go? Or why isn't there...
Apparently, there
wasn't a plan in terms of head coach because it was written into Mayo's contract. But there's been little... There's still no GM. Elliot Wolf is there as kind of head of personnel or something like that, who could be brilliant. You know, he's got the legacy in terms of his father. Was great for the Packers.
I like the youngsters or... relative youngsters, Mayo and Wolf, running the show. Like you say, Kraft interfering, I don't like.
I wonder how much he will interfere now versus previous, because I think, I doubt there was much interference beforehand when Belichick ran the roost.
I think there might have been towards the end.
Yeah.
Like we know there was with Mac Jones. I think he might keep his hands off and see what happens. But if it doesn't go the way he wants after 18 months.
I get the feeling it's all turning a bit Jerry Jones.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Are you saying he might start massaging things?
Yeah.
I'm saying he might start massaging things legally. I think it was legal what he did, but just a bit skeezy for an old man to be doing it.
Right.
Anyway.
Moves on to the fun bits.
Free agency.
Yay.
So.
Bit of a roller coaster, I felt.
It was brilliant, quite frankly. Because, you know, we've got a WhatsApp group that, you know, we put when we see news coming through. And it was.
Those 2 days of legal tampering, which is absolute bullshit, because as soon as that clock strikes midnight or the equivalent time, suddenly there's a $180 million deal on the table. You're like, so you don't want to negotiate this at all, no?
No.
All right, yeah, that was negotiated well before that clock hit the
required time. I think some teams could be well within their rights to go, you've legally tampered with our player. But of course, they don't want to because they're illegally tampering. Yeah. So it's like tapping up in
the
tournament. Like, like Chelsea once got done for tapping up. Of course, everyone taps up, but if you're spending $180 million on a bloke, you probably want to know that he's going to want to accept that before you suddenly put that on the table. It makes sense.
Anyway, speaking of $180 million, Kirk Cousins to the Falcons.
Kirko Chains is to the... Yeah. Griff just died.
Throwing his arms up in disgrace.
What the fuck is the point? What is the point?
He's an accurate quarterback.
Yes, he's an accurate quarterback with a record of how much success?
Not a lot.
Hear me now. None. Terrible.
Yeah, but you want to put fucking Phil Rivers in the Hall of Fame.
I would have Phil Rivers over Kirk Cousins any day of the week.
I would as well.
Right.
Well, I think you're fucking
insane. Point is, the Falcons are now, they've now jumped from terrible to better than terrible.
Oh, I think that, I disagree with that.
We'll see.
I think they stand a good chance of winning the NFC South.
Yeah, because the division is terrible.
Yeah, the division is terrible. The one thing they needed was a quarterback. Like
they need a quarterback and defensive line.
Yeah. So they've fixed one of those things by getting a quarterback. Why? They've got a good wide receiver, they've got a good tight end, and they've got a really good running back and a really good offensive line.
Do they
line.
Have a good tight end?
Yeah.
Do they?
Well,
show me the money. Where has he been good in the last 3 years?
He's just not been very productive.
Has he been
Who's
very good?
Been throwing to him in the last 2 years?
It shouldn't matter. He has it done
does matter. It does matter a lot.
Not over that sample size. He has sucked balls.
Over that sample size, no one has had more overthrown passes than him.
Possibly so. DeAndre Hopkins had Tom Savage thrown to him and still putting up 2 touchdowns a week.
All right. So maybe Kyle Pitts isn't going to be in the Hall of Fame, but you know, I think he's got talent to be a decent decent tight end.
I think anyway, he's massively overrated.
Drake
not
London's
only, not
good.
Only him, they've also got rid of the head coach who I don't think could have managed his way out of a paper bag.
Now, that I will grant you, I think that's the best move the Falcons have made because Arthur Smith, terrible. Absolutely. Not Arthur Smith? Yes. Yeah, terrible. Yeah. The moustache, everything. Terrible. And I know about terrible moustaches. But
you've kissed a few.
I have. I have. You leave my mum alone.
You know I won't.
That escalated.
It did. Kirk Cousins is just okay. He's just okay.
No, he's better. He is actually better than okay.
He's better than
is
okay.
He?
He is an incredibly accurate quarterback.
He puts up amazing numbers, but he wins fuck all.
He's streaky.
I don't think that's on him.
But he's played for some really rubbish teams.
Yeah. I think he's had one good season with the Vikings have had one good season with him there, and I think they won a few more games than they lost. Because the defense was shit, and the defense hasn't been good for probably gone 5-6 years now that he was there.
In terms of success, is Kirk Cousins not just Tony Romo?
That's not a bad likeness.
So,
Tony Romo's a good
quarterback. Successful in the playoffs was Tony Romo?
Pretty bad.
Right. Okay. I rest my case.
But Matt Stafford was a terrible quarterback in the playoffs until he went to a decent team.
No,
with pieces around him,
but not the same.
Matt Stafford was a good quarterback.
Matt Stafford was the best player on his team.
Ooh,
best offensive player.
He did have Megatron.
He had Megatron with him
for 3 years.
Fuck all.
Yeah, they did. But Kirk Cousins hasn't even been the best defensive player on his team.
Like Kirk and Jefferson have been just as just as successful as Stafford and Megatron.
Absolutely.
And which two, if you had to sign two of them together, would you rather have on your team?
Well, I'd have Stafford and Megatron.
So would I.
But Jim?
Yeah, I would as well.
Right. So I rest my case. He's not that good.
All we've decided is that Kirk Cousins isn't as good as Matt Stafford.
Better than Desmond Ridder.
Now, look, no one's arguing that. I'm better than Desmond Ridder. But
also, $40 million a year for a quarterback in this, I know... isn't that big. That's Daniel Jones.
The money didn't bother me because the money goes up every year regardless. The money didn't bother me, but I think it's symptomatic of a team that is aiming just to be better than it was last year rather than aiming to win everything.
They're not aiming to win everything. They can't, but I think they are aiming for NFC South and playoffs.
Can I put it another way? What would be a better move for them?
I don't think there is a better move.
What I'm saying. I think they are potentially in a win now position based on the talent they've got on the roster.
Win what now?
Win NFC South. They're the best team in the NFC South now.
I think you, me, and Jim, and eight of our friends could win the NFC South right
if
now.
If they made the right moves, and I'm not saying Kirk Cousins did the right move, but we can't say what the right move is, they've got enough on that roster to be a competitive team in the NFC.
They were one game behind with Ridder.
Yeah.
But that was mostly down to Tyler Heinicke, not Ridder.
But that doesn't matter. Okay. They're both shit.
One game behind with Ridder and Heinicke. What's a better move? Russell Wilson? Justin Fields?
Yes.
The only time Heinicke has been effective was when he probably went to Washington on January the 6th, stormed the Capitol because he's a massive MAGA. I don't think he was there. But yeah, like, I think there's, for what choices they had, basically they could go for Kirk, or they could try and put in a trade for Fields.
I would have done that first.
I think Kirk Cousins is a more known entity than Justin Fields.
So the other thing that hasn't been mentioned here is he's just coming off a torn ACL.
Yep.
Yes.
So
famous runner, Kirk Cousins.
That is not the point, is it?
They've got a good offensive line.
They've got a good offensive line, but it's using the legs to generate the power into his accurate throws.
I see where you're going with it. I don't think a torn ACL is as serious as it once was.
No, it isn't, but
it's an Achilles.
Yeah.
A torn Achilles, the same injury as, Rodgers.
Rodgers. I don't know.
It's done nothing to make me think I should want to watch the Falcons this season.
I'm curious as to what they got.
I will watch the Falcons because you always know the Falcons.
It's going to be entertaining.
They're going to fuck it up somewhere. Yeah. And
they just
now we can all really rejoice in the Kirk playoff interception that cost them. So yeah, it was the biggest move on the first day.
I do like to caveat things when I am lambasting a move and say one of the other moves they could have gone would have been for Jameis, and that would have been laughably hilarious. Jameis at the Falcons would have been just a disaster.
I'd have loved that.
Jameis anywhere is a disaster.
Where is Jameis? Has he been signed yet?
I've no idea. He's probably having LASIK surgery again.
You carry on, I'll check.
Please, because that is my team of the year. I really wanted to turn up somewhere. Like, I really want somewhere that can harm.
He's the Browns.
Of course he is.
Oh, yes, of course he is. Because they've,
they've now got
sexual offenders
all around.
A go.
Yeah, almost a full season their quarterbacks have lost to sexual assault suspensions.
Fucking hell. But think about how well those quarterbacks have been rested. There's no wear and tear on them during that.
Exactly, game. Exactly.
Clever move, you see.
Yeah, it's worked well for them so far, hasn't it?
Fucking
hell. I mean, the thing is, if you they got rid of Flacco, didn't they, the Browns, because effectively he was too popular. And it was casting a bad light on their bloke. They're paying $270 million. So bringing in famously understated Jameis Winston to come in and ball out for three games when Deshaun Watson decides he's injured and fucks off.
The thing is, with the Browns, right, Deshaun Watson, was he actually that good last
year? No.
He's not been. And does anyone think he's magically going to be better this season?
No.
So the chances of Jameis, right now, as things stand, before you know anything else, playing 5.5 starts over or under?
Over.
I'd go over.
Right. Me too.
Just on the back of the injuries. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Just
Deshaun Watson seems to be very soft now. And just.
Don't.
Yep. No, like in terms of...
I'm going to save so much trouble. I'm just saying.
He misses a lot of games that you would assume a guy paid $270 million would not miss. But yes. There. Anyway, what else?
Legarius Sneed.
Legarius Sneed, traded by the Chiefs. He's gone to the Titans. So they tagged him. The chances of them really being able to keep him on a long-term deal were
not
slim to none.
They prioritised Chris Jones over him.
Yeah. And it's fair enough.
Yeah.
They've also got, you know, Mahomes on
a lot
of money. He has restructured his deal to create like 8 million of cap space this year.
Still isn't going to be enough to pay for a cornerback.
Doesn't get you Sneed.
Great
pickup.
Yeah, great cornerback. I think it's a good pickup for the Titans. And then they gave up a third round pick next year and a seventh round pick this year. And they also gave up a seventh round pick this year. So switched to seven round picks and a third. That's good value.
Great. I like it. I don't really see what the Titans are planning.
No.
As a team. We just laughed at the Falcons. I don't really get what the Titans are planning.
No.
Does anyone? Is anyone convinced by what the Titans are doing?
Once again, in their division, little changes they're doing might just be enough because everyone else is fucking batshit crazy.
They've signed Calvin Ridley.
Okay.
A lot of money.
Tony, a heck of a lot of money.
Calvin Ridley is not just this year's Christian Kirk.
He's getting the bad team tax, isn't he, there?
Big time. He's averaging $23 million a year.
Yeah.
Lloyd Cushbury, the center, which is a really good pickup.
Yep.
Tony Pollard.
I like. He's not going to replace Derrick Henry, but, you know.
This is the issue. But it's not just that. It's the coaching as well.
It's a new coach, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Was this the time to get rid of Vrabel? Was it?
No. No, but I don't think they had any choice.
Really?
Yes.
I think Vrabel wanted out, didn't he?
Now, that may be, I don't know. I just feel they're another team that just repeatedly lose their way.
Given that their quarterback is likely to be Will Levis,
who had one good game.
But for me, bear in mind, he was a second round pick as well, so his contract is even less than perhaps kind of like what we're going to see with the Bears taking Caleb this year. Gives them the money to build around him. Now, whether Calvin Ridley is the man, they've got Hopkins, I guess, to play with him. Mm. That creates quite a good wide receiver room. I'd be worried. They're going to have, if they don't pick up a tackle with their first pick of the draft, I'd be worried, but I think they will. It at least kind of solidifies the line in front of him, and it gives him a good few options to throw to.
And they've also got the offensive line whisperer, haven't they?
That's right, yeah.
Callahan's dad, isn't it, is coming to
from be their the Browns.
From the Browns to be their O-line coach. Which
I'd
helps.
Worry about their defense as well. I don't think it's very good at the moment.
No.
They're currently the third best team in that division at best.
Yeah, potentially fourth.
Texans and Jags, both better on paper.
I'd agree with that.
And the Colts, I think that...
If
Anthony Richardson is the Anthony Richardson we saw last year, then at the moment the Titans are... The fourth team.
Yeah.
But also, that division is drunk, and it doesn't take much to go from fourth to first.
That is a fair point, because no one saw what the Texans were going to do.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, as it stands right now, and that is all we can do.
Yeah. Even if you consider that the Texans are probably going to be out in front, you just have to catch the Jags, who are going to trip themselves up, because they're the Jags, and, you know... what else?
If you'd got to pick a division that you thought might have more ties than any other division, that would be the one, right? Like, that is how I feel about it.
I'd always go with the North, and I don't know why, because
they all hate each other.
Yeah, I think...
AFC North, I'd agree with that. Well, AFC North.
AFC North, I think. Yeah. South is, like, number two, because they're either... very, very good or very, very bad, and they can sort of switch up half by half. So, yeah. Elsewhere, on the trades, Brian Burns.
Yeah.
So...
not Pete Burns.
No. He sadly wasn't traded because he's a pop star and dead.
I like Pete Burns.
Really, really bad value.
It would have been very bad value. But yeah, Brian Burns, also bad value... really, for the Panthers.
Are you going to go with that?
It's always funny to think they turned down two first-round picks for him from the Rams less than 2 years ago. And they got a bag of beans.
Eh, They got a second and a fifth round pick and a fifth round maybe next year.
Yeah.
I don't think that's terrible.
I always think when it comes to the Giants, a conditional pick is not going to happen because we aren't going to be good enough.
I don't think it's terrible value for the Panthers. I think it's terrible when you compare it to what they could have got.
Yeah.
From the Rams.
Is it Jim Bowen wheeling out a speedboat terrible?
Like, yeah.
You could have won.
I
saw one the other day.
I just think when you look at the Panthers, you just look at such a dysfunctional franchise now.
Yeah.
From where they were pretty solid a few years back, and now they're shit since that guy took ownership.
David Tepper.
That's the one.
Terrible. Terrible.
I saw a Wheel of Fortune the other day, and the bloke won a year's supply of beer.
Wow.
And you wouldn't get that nowadays, would you?
No.
But yeah.
Wouldn't be allowed that.
Yeah, the guy looked absolutely made up.
Yeah, I would be.
But yeah, it was Carling though. So.
Oh.
Not, you know, it's like for me.
You could sell it if nothing else.
You couldn't.
No.
No.
I don't know anything about beer.
Clear your drains of that shit.
Yeah, like, maybe.
Clean
something out of that shit.
But anyway, yeah, Brian Burns, like, there's not a lot going on for the Giants at the moment.
But your D-line looks good.
Our D-line looks ferocious.
Yeah.
I mean, you can throw on us, sadly, so they've got to be very, very good. But
the two work together. The defensive line and the backfield work together. If one isn't good, the other one isn't going to be good. But if one is really good, it's going to, you know, all boats rise.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So I think
there's starting to build again. Like, we've got Burns, Lawrence,
Thibodeau,
Okereke behind them.
Yeah.
Banks, a cornerback, a quite big fan of. Shimmy lost McKinney, but that's pretty much.
Some of your offense is terrible.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I mean, it's really bad.
Really bad.
You can look forward to a handful of 6-0 defeats.
Yes.
Because I've been there.
I hope we play you this year. Because that's 0-0. 0-0, absolutely.
The first 0-0 since 1949. It's going to suck so bad. The Dakota Staleys and the whatever it was triangles. Brilliant.
Both teams refusing to throw.
We'd have been so much better off last year if we'd have refused to throw. Throwing was the problem.
We'll get into we'll give the rest of the transactions like another show because there's quite a lot to go through and giving them the time they deserve. But Jim, any transactions that you thought, ooh, that was pretty.
Bears getting Keenan Allen. You've actually got it in the rundown.
Oh, have I?
But I thought that one particularly because of what the Bears seem to be planning to do in terms of, like, obviously trading Justin Fields out, gives it all away. Okay, we're taking Kay Williams for the first overall pick. Then acquiring pieces which Justin Field really could have used in his time in Chicago. But fair enough, all right, you're doing the right thing now. And then also Christian Wilkins going to Las Vegas. Big loss for the Dolphins, but with him and Max Crosby on that defensive line, they might have something at last.
It's not
might.
Once again, very similar to the Giants. The defense starts to look good.
Yeah.
Their quarterback room is even worse than us.
Yeah. And then let's talk about the running back merry-go-round to an extent, with Aaron Jones getting cut by the Packers, who then go and sign Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
We mentioned...
Am I the only one who likes that?
I don't hate it.
Do you not think that, as of right now, Josh Jacobs is the better player?
I think they're very much of a muchness
when fit. Yeah, I do as well.
Aaron Jones hasn't been fit all year, so it didn't surprise me that they moved on.
Yeah.
Also, I like Aaron Jones. A fit Aaron Jones, I think, we all think, is an elite running back, apart from Gary.
Yeah. Not to disappoint you as well, though, you know, obviously, Saquon Barkley to the Eagles.
Yeah.
That's
one of my favourite off-season
moves. That stings, man.
It hurts a lot. But good for them, good for him. He just fucking sucks.
Yeah. He obviously replaces DeAndre Swift, who's now with the Bears. Again, another good piece for a young quarterback to have. And then the old king, Derrick Henry, going to the Baltimore Ravens. I can't think of a better fit.
That's annoyingly good.
An amazingly good signing
ever made.
Because he will only have to do a third of the workload he was doing before.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep him fresh. As well, just hopefully they've learned their lesson where they've just got to the playoffs and then forgot to run the ball. I looked forward to seeing how they fuck it up. That's the thing with the Ravens.
Yeah,
they're both really well won and incapable.
They are getting to that point where you're like, oh, this team can't lose. Oh, they've lost.
Yeah, yeah.
And then finally, lots of running backs move around this year. Austin Eckler going to the Commanders.
Yeah,
I mean, so that's his career finished, no?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Like, I like Austin Eckler, I do not like the Commanders.
No.
Aaron Jones wound up at the Vikings as well. Just to really sock it to the Packers.
I mean, that's, for the Vikings, that's good because
I think it is.
When they lost Cook, Madison.
What's going to happen to him?
Who?
Cook.
Alvin Cook.
I imagine court, probably. I imagine we might see him in a courtroom before on an NFL field because that is still bumbling on, isn't it?
I don't know.
You know, there are still some good running backs out on the market as well. Zeke Elliott's still there. Clyde Edwards.
You said good ones.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's still something in
Zeke Elliott. Clyde Edwards-Helaire signed a deal with the Chiefs. Chiefs,
did he?
He did, yeah. Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, Matt Breida, Kareem Hunt, Rashad Penny.
J.K. Dobbins has been working out somewhere, hasn't he?
Yes, it was the Chiefs.
It was the Chiefs,
they re-signed Edwards-Helaire instead. When I said I haven't seen any news, I have seen today's news.
Nice. Well, did you see the international pathway whilst talking Chiefs?
Yeah, I've not seen anything but international. Because when you follow rugby and you follow the NFL, and you follow a lot of accounts on Instagram, you get bombarded by the fact that Lewis Rees-Zammit has signed for the Chiefs.
Yeah, as a wide back.
I know nothing about rugby and don't know who he is.
He was a very good young Welsh winger. Very quick, very physical.
John, I'd like to hear you say very good young Welsh winger.
He was a very good young winger from Wales.
I think of all the people that have moved from rugby into a skill position for the NFL, I think he's probably got as good a chance as anyone.
Whatever happened to Christian Wade?
Yeah, he's back playing rugby now.
Yeah.
But Rees-Zammit is a better rugby player. And younger as well. Remember, he's only 24, I think he is.
Proper unit, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got the physicality for the NFL. I think he's got size, he's got speed.
Remember, he's got the smarts for the game. I think that was...
Wade had
like pace and physicality, but like I remember the Bills being... He had that like 80-yard play in a preseason game. And the Bills were like, well, if he was a... proper play, if he'd grown up in the system, like playing a college game, he would scored a touchdown because he made like some moves in the run that a running back would, that a rugby player does. So I think
the other thing is he has actually grown up watching the game.
Yeah.
I know it's not the same as going to college and actually playing it for that many years, but his dad played in NFL Europe, and that got him into it. And it's a dream of his to go and play in the NFL. And frankly, done most of what he can do with Wales in rugby because they aren't going to win the World Cup.
Was he a Lion as well?
He was a British Lion, Irish Lion as well, yeah.
So, like, he's done it.
Yeah.
Especially, he was in a winning series. There's little else you can do.
And also, realistically, a practice squad paycheck is probably more than what he'd get as a professional rugby player in Europe.
Yeah.
A Gaelic football kicker who's signed a 2-year deal for the Saints.
Yes.
What's the sexuality got to do with it?
I said Gaelic.
Oh, just checking.
I don't care what his proclivities are.
Paul, hurry up, man. Like, seriously. Jim's taking it all seriously and shit.
I saw a thing of him in practice kicking a 70-yard kick.
I also saw that.
And you're like, okay, this guy might be good. But, you know, let's see what happens in the actual... When the games come. So, it's the draft this month.
Yeah, I know.
It's the best time of the
so
year.
So exciting.
It's brilliant. Fuck you, Vernon Kay.
Yeah. Not that we hold a fucking grudge.
No, no. 18 months we've been holding on to this.
Whoops. Oh, was that
careful,
angry.
Jim. Yeah. You've got a special needs table for your bad back and you managed to knock everything over. Is that your bottle that you're weeing because you can't get to the toilet in time?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
That's what it looks like. It
does look like piss.
It does.
for those...
I hope that sound effect made
it. It didn't, but basically it looks like Jim's just poured himself a bottle of piss.
It's rather flat ginger ale.
Ah. Oh. SodaStream.
Yes.
Nice. Want one of them.
£50 from Amazon. Oh, you get some syrups with that as well.
John, you can afford one.
I can. Probably won't, though. Because I could spend that on food.
I wonder where it's going with that.
Yeah.
Hookers and Coke.
Yeah.
So,
moving on.
We've already mentioned Caleb Williams. So, he's going to be the number one pick, isn't
yes.
he?
Yes, he is.
How can we compare him to other number one picks? So we're talking like Trevor Lawrence. I'm trying to think of like Luck, like these people, basically people since.
So people who haven't produced what they were promised to do.
I was going to mention Mariota.
Exactly.
Wow. He's better than Mariota.
So far, you're not
Jared Goff.
He's better than that. Hype-wise, we talk about generational quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence being the last one, and yes, he's probably not lived up to that tag. I would say Andrew Luck was the one before that. I'd say Andrew Luck did live up to that tag. I'd say if he's still playing now, there wouldn't be an argument about it. I think he's as good as what Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence were in the college game. He's certainly that next generation. We've been looking forward to him coming into the draft for a while. He's good at run. Looking at kind of what other people say. He's a dynamic runner. He makes defenders look really stupid in space. He'll run past them, run through them. Sometimes he probably needs to cut out that out a little bit at the next level. But he's such a good passer as well. He absolutely beautiful. He is a great player, and he is. I think if you look at probably over the last 5 years. He would be challenging Trevor Lawrence for that number one. Based on what we know now about Trevor Lawrence, I'd say he's easily number one.
Okay. So, basically, if you look at the mock drafts, it all goes a little...
goes crazy after that.
Quarterback crazy.
Well, yeah.
After Caleb Williams. You even sent a mock draft you did around our WhatsApp group today. I think you had the next three picks as quarterbacks.
So it's never happened in the NFL where you have four quarterbacks in the first four picks. That's never happened. I think there is a very real chance of that happening this year. Mainly because you've got, within that top four, you've got three teams who definitely need a quarterback. In the Bears, the Commanders, the Patriots, and then the Cardinals are that fourth team. I can really see the Patriots trading out of that third pick because realistically, if you put a top young quarterback in that team, they're going to fail.
Yeah.
The Patriots need draft picks. They need need to build the roster over the next 2 to 3 years if they are in a rebuild, and putting a quarterback there now is just pointless.
Glitter the turd.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you've got teams behind them that are going to want to jump up. The Giants might be an option. I'd mock the Giants jumping up there. The Vikings have already moved to have two first-round picks. They took the Texans' first-round pick. So they've now got two in the first round. They're undoubtedly going to try and move to get a quarterback, and they need one. And then outside of the top 10, you've got the Broncos and the Raiders, who certainly are probably going to need a quarterback.
Yeah.
So there's that four teams who are, vying to kind of get into that top four. So I think they're all going to... It kind of puts the Patriots in a really good position in terms of like getting draft stock for this year and next year. It puts the Cardinals in a great position for getting draft stock this year and next year. And I don't think there's a big drop-off if you move within the top 15. I think you're still going to get a really good player. So it makes moving down in the draft much, much more realistic.
And who other than the quarterbacks are the top prospects then?
Marvin Harrison is without doubt the top non-quarterback prospect. Like, absolute surefire hit, wide receiver, obviously son of Marvin Harrison, who's in the Hall of Fame. That's number one. This is a... If you're a team that needs defensive help, this is not the draft for you.
Okay.
This is the draft about offense. It's quarterbacks, it's wide receivers, and it's tackles.
Sorry, my stomach's rumbling.
Chippy, shut, mate, now. Sorry.
Oh, shit. But yeah, so...
There is depth at wide receiver after Marvin Harrison. Like, people, I think he's the clear cut top wide receiver, but people are saying that Malik Nabers, got that right? Yeah, Malik Nabers, and who was the other
Roma
one?
Dunze?
Roma Dunze are up there with him. I don't think they're very far off him. And then there's so many tackles that could go.
Joe Alt, I think, is top of the.
Joe Alt's top one. Troy Fontanu. Try saying that quickly.
I won't even say it slowly.
Talisi Fuaga, Ole Fashanu, you know, all these
Awuga.
Tyler Guyton, JC Latham. All these tackles are going to go in the first round.
Jason Statham.
JC Latham.
Oh. Not interested anymore.
Yeah. I was there for a second. I was interested.
I think there's probably 10 defensive players that are realistically going in the top, in the first round. You might get one in the top 10.
Any running backs?
There's no running backs in the first round this year.
Ah, shame.
No safeties either, I don't think.
Oh, really?
No.
Well, so, like, I keep seeing different opinions about the quarterbacks. So, Caleb, number one, but you've got, like, Drake May, Bo Nix, Michael Penix.
Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy.
Like, is there one that you prefer over the others? Or two that you think?
I don't think there's one I prefer. I think it's going to depend on where they land and what system they're going to be in. I think, and they are quite different. Jaden Daniels, he's the Heisman winner trophy for 2023. Very fluid runner, great pass of the ball. He suits what the Commanders are building. They've got Cliff Kingsbury there. He is a better version of Kyler Murray, taller.
Okay.
Not as stout. That's the only thing. He looks really thin, and he's got a very weird elbow.
I've seen that. That looks really, like, odd.
Yeah. So I think him, Drake May, and JJ McCarthy are the top four. I don't think they are first round pick lot, probably top 10. If not, they're my top four picks. Drake May, not as experienced. Didn't play in a league that had that much competition. Played in a season where he had a really bad offensive line, but looks kind of like a Josh Allen, that type of player. Got the build, got the arm, incredibly strong. There's a great highlight of him throwing a touchdown pass with literally two defenders draped on him. JJ McCarthy just won the championship with Michigan, coached by Jim Harbaugh. Think Alex Smith. Pocket poise, accurate,
broken
refined
leg.
Players.
Fucked up knees.
Think Alex Smith before the knee fuck up. He's that type of player. He's a game manager. He wasn't asked to do a lot at Michigan because they had such a good running game. But when he was asked to throw it, he did throw it. Interestingly, when Jim Harbaugh was suspended, the offensive coordinator took over and they ran 30 running plays in a row. That would worry me. But he didn't kick up a fuss at all about that. And if he's been coached hard by Jim Harbaugh, I'd say he can take any type of coaching. And then you've got the next two, which there's going to, I think, one or two of these going in the first round. Bo Nix had some issues, transferred to Oregon, played 2 years there, looks really good. Michael Penix Jr., Penix. Looking at the smile.
You'd change that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would.
Dave Penix is my better name.
I go Michael Schlong Jr.
You want the word junior after your Penix? No, you really don't. That needs to be senior and massive.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Go on. You were saying, Jim.
I was saying. He had a really good year, Washington. He got to the final. Washington lost, but you know, a big part of that was his play.
I think he's the one. He's the dark horse for me.
He's
love it.
He has got such a good deep ball.
His deep balls are amazing.
Yeah.
Sweet.
He's probably one of the. Yeah, he's probably the best pure passer in this draft.
If we should trade down from number three and still get him,
I think that's a possibility. I mocked a draft where you traded with the Giants.
Yeah, but you did it for Daniel Jones. I would be horrified if we did that.
I'd love that.
I'd rather trade for John, right? We can have a new fan. He has to come and support us, but they can have the number three pick. Then we have Daniel Jones.
The biggest knock.
Don't think I'm down with that.
The biggest knock on Penix is the biggest knock on him is durability. He's had two season-ending injuries in his college career.
Yeah, you don't want to damage your Penix.
No, exactly.
No.
And you know, the one trait which always follows through from college into the NFL
is injuries.
Sam Bradford.
Yeah, it's true. It's
Carson Wentz is another example as well. So yeah,
who's now the backup at the Chiefs?
Yeah, I know. Unbelievable. Just Super Bowl ring hunting, isn't he?
Yeah. Although he seems to bring a curse when he joins, so
I'm looking forward to Penix handing off to a tight end as well. I'm gonna, like, I cannot. It's gonna be amazing. It's the Penix deep balls.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, I think if it hadn't had those two season-ending injuries,
it'd be top three or top four.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, we'll be back before the draft because we've got to talk through the rest of the fucking transactions that happen. But we will be doing a mock draft again this year. So, we'll let everyone know their teams shortly at some point.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, no.
I was going to do it this evening, but I was at work.
So. Yeah, life's busy, mate. It's fine.
It is, but I'm getting
just no commitment.
Yeah. No, you're right. There is no commitment.
I've got to prepare.
Oh, yeah, because you'll be really struggling, won't you? With all that other stuff you're doing at the moment.
But yeah. We'll see. We'll leave you there because it's been long enough, an hour and 20. But we'll come back next week, go through the rest of it, and start working towards our mock draft, which is my favourite show of the year. I don't.
Absolutely,
always the best show of the year.
But yeah, until then, thank you very much, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.